Welcome to the Abundant Life Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Sergio Meza. For more information about Abundant Life Church, please visit www.abundantlifechurch.org.
What I want to talk about is it's about God's call precedes His judgment. And I'm just glad and grateful for the day that God called me out of the darkness of this world, and brought me into His light. To me, that was a beautiful day when He sent somebody into my life to tell me about a better life, and also where I could come into a place of safety, where I could come in and be saved from the judgment that we know, according to the Bible, it's going to happen once again, just like it did in the days of Noah. And so ever since God came into my life, He has given me, and I'm sure to all of us, many promises. And a lot of His promises have been fulfilled, not only in my life, but I'm sure they have been fulfilled also in your lives. I remember when I first became a Christian, one of the promises that I really kind of hang on was the one that says that believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and also your whole family. And it didn't take very long after that that promise was fulfilled in my life, because most of my family, after I believed, they all started coming to the knowledge of God. And to this day, a lot of my family are saved, and I thank God for that. And also, as I started my life also, I remember my wife and I, we got married very young. We were only 18 years old. We were very young, and I saw, and throughout the years, I have seen the hand of God work in our lives. I remember really hard times, you know, being that young, and it was very hard. It was very hard, and I remember saying that we didn't really wait for, you know, to have children either. We started having children right away. We had our first child like 2 years later. And that brought a little more, you know, more responsibility to our lives. But God, like I said, God, I saw the hand of God, or I have seen the hand of God throughout the years. Up to this date, I've been serving God for almost 30 years, and I have seen Him done so many things in my life, and not only in my life, but in my family. I can tell the blessing of God upon us. You know, it's just amazing how good it is to be in the kingdom of God, to belong to his people. One of His promises is that one day He will come back to take us to a heavenly place. When He came, He said, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. But also, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I go, you can be also with me forever and ever. And the first 16 or 17 years of my life in this world, I lived them out there, you know, without God. I had no knowledge. I didn't know anything about God. And my family, they didn't know anything either. The only one that knew was one of my uncles, and that's the reason, because of him, that's how a lot of the rest of our family started coming and knowing about the riches of the Word of God. So those short years that I was out there, even at the age of, 15, 16, 17 years old, I think most people can see a lot out there, what the world has to offer. You know, it has bad things, really bad things. I remember I did try drugs. I did try them. I did, somebody enticed me to drink alcohol also, which I thank God that I never got really addicted to it, you know, to either one of those things. Smoking, I tried it too, but thank God I never got into that either. So I thank God that even though people that are out there, we are out there, but God's purpose for every human being is to come to the knowledge of God and to be saved from all these things that are out there to destroy people. So, the Bible says that God came to give us life and life more abundantly. So that's why I don't take it for granted the fact that I belong to the kingdom of God. I know that my life couldn't be better without Him. I know that for sure. But I wanna begin the lesson, saying this, that it is difficult to comprehend the significance of our times. If things were bad before, I think things are getting worse. Every day they're just getting worse. I think we are living in the last days, and a lot of people say that we must be living in the last days because the change that we are seeing in the last, I don't know, 150 years or so, it's just been huge, you know. If we compare the conditions we are living today versus historical conditions, we realize that things have changed a lot. And yet we don't find things that unordinary. We just get used to it. We think that this is the way it is and that's the way it's supposed to be. But no, we have seen a lot of change in a short time. For many years, humankind never exceeded the speed of a horse. It was just that's all there was, a horse. But now, in the last, I don't know, 150 years, 200 years, we have seen the development of automobiles, trains, planes, and many other ways we can travel to different places of the world in a very short time. So, that's a big change from a horse to a plane. That's huge. Or if we think about the astronauts, they can travel at 17,000 miles an hour in the space shuttle. So that's huge. Several nations in the world today have nuclear weapons. And that's also huge because before it used to be where people used to fight one man with one man and they would only kill one person at a time. Now, nuclear blast can kill millions of people. And that's the scary thing of the days that we're living today. You know, that could happen any moment. And the thing is that it, not only the United States has those kind of weapons, there's many other countries that have them. And all it's going to take, it's some crazy person to push the button and do a lot of damage to people, to humankind. We also have the computer technology. And in our daily lives, they have changed our lives greatly, tremendously too. I was talking to my mom this week and she was telling me that one of my nephews gave her an iPad and before she was, you know, she was all against it. She was like, oh, that stuff, that technology, that must be of the devil because, you know, the things you can do with the stuff. And now that talking to her about this iPad, she was telling me how she's liking it. Now she says, I can listen to sermons on the iPad. I can read my Bible on the iPad. I can do a lot of things, listen to songs and do all different things. And she's liking it. And I'm like, I thought you said that was bad. I'm like, well, that's just the things that we're living in. One person, our company, the company that I work for, they were also providing cell phones for some of the workers. And one of the guys had a flip phone, and he never wanted to get into the new technology of a smartphone. And he was all against it as well. And finally, he had to have the phone. They told him, you got to have it. because you are a foreman, you got to have a cell phone, a smartphone. So as soon as he had it, not long after that, you can't get him away from the phone. He's always on the emails and Facebook and all the other stuff. And that's, like I say, we just get so used to the things that we're living in. The changes that are happening in our lives are just, we're just getting to it like nothing. Like it's so common and like it's normal. In the medical field, we find the doctors are transplanting organs by the thousands. One of my nephews, he had a heart transplant, and thank God he's doing okay. That was like 4 years ago, and he's doing okay. But a lot of the time, sometimes I think about that. I'm like, my nephew has somebody else's heart, and he's, you know, he's just a normal kid. And that's huge also. That's a huge change in our days, to be able to have somebody else's heart, somebody else's kidney or lung or whatever. That's just amazing, the changes that we are seeing in these days, in our days. years ago, people used to be more respectful, and they were ashamed of immoral behavior. Nowadays, sin in our society has multiplied greatly. Pornography and homosexuality, abortion, they have caused society to lose the ability to blush. People, they just think it's normal. The world is becoming more and more corrupt. And the Bible says that in the days of Noah, the earth was corrupt. And that's the reason why God brought judgment on the earth, because of the corruption that was going on in the world. There is an epidemic of illegal drugs. Many people are dying from overdoses and drug dealing. That's in abundance. Violence has increased in many cities and many parts of the world. Not long ago, I was listening to the news about all these people dying in Chicago, in the city of Chicago. That's just one place. But if we really think about every city in America, and not only here in America, but other parts of the world, violence is just, it's just to the roof. There was only one divorce in 30 at the turn of the 20th century. And now it's almost one in two. That's kind of scary. I remember a while back, maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I used to work in a foundry, and there was a lady in her maybe 50s, and we were talking, and she was telling me that she was going to go through a divorce. And to me, that was pretty shocking to know that a full-grown person at that age would think about doing such a thing. And it was kind of rare back then. To me, it was unconceivable, but that was the first time that I came across that, you know, that kind of a thing. But even today, people are thinking that divorce is or marriage is becoming obsolete, and that's scary. No generation has seen so much rapid change as we are seeing it today in these days. Even those who do not believe in God or the Bible should be wondering, where are we going with all of this? And I think a lot of people, I don't know if you noticed that, but people that are not Christians, they can tell something is going on. Just by the way they talk, the way, you know, when you talk with them, they can tell. Everybody can tell that, or sense that something is about to happen. It's as if we were running on a cosmic treadmill. And it is getting faster and faster, faster and faster. All these things should warn us that we are living in climatic times. Jesus came into the world to warn us about a day of judgment that is going to come over the earth once again, just like in the days of Noah. He came with that. You know, I think that was the reason he came, to tell, let us know that there is going to be a day of judgment, and that this earth is not going to remain forever. as some people might think. There's going to be an end to all of these things, just like in the days of Noah. But thank God he also gave us a plan. He didn't only came to scare us with this news about a day of judgment. He came and gave us a plan to escape. Just like in the days of Noah, God gave Noah a plan, and the plan was the ark. Well, now we have a plan of salvation as well. And so I'm going to begin reading the first scripture in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. Gospel of Matthew 24, 37 through 39. It reads, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And that's what I was saying, that we are getting so used to all these changes. And that's how the people in the days of Noah were. They were all careless, like, nothing's going to happen. This crazy guy has been building this boat for so long and nothing has happened. Why is something going to happen now? You know, and that's the thing, that's the way some people look at us sometimes when we tell them about church. When we invite them to church, some of them, they laugh and they mock and they're like, "Nah, you're crazy. That's not going to happen." You know, some people, the other day, I don't know where I heard somebody say that, just like joking that, "Oh, I don't believe in hell." And a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't believe, about all these things that are in the Bible. They think that it's just a group of nuts going around and, you know, believing something that is not true. But God is merciful and kind, and he has told us what we need to do to prepare for his coming, for the day of his judgment. He came into the world to let us know what we need to do to prepare for his return. He also gave us a specific plan, a plan of salvation, and we know that plan. We know the plan of salvation, how we can enter this ark. You might want to call it the ark, which is the church. It's the place of safety. I'm going to read in 2 Peter chapter 3:7-10. It says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in that which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So the Bible is telling us how the judgment is going to come on this earth this next time. God gave a promise the last time when the flood happened, and that he would never destroy it with water. And so, but now I don't know which one is worse, drowned or being burned up. So, but that's in the Word of God, and us as Christians, I don't know about you, but when I became a Christian, my life has been a life of faith. Everything that I believe in the Word of God, like I was saying, some people might call us nuts and crazy, but what I believe, I do it by faith. It is by faith. It's by faith that I believe that the word of God is truth, and that what it says, it's going to happen. How can I be so sure of that? Well, like I said, a lot of the promises of God have been fulfilled in my life, and He has proven Himself to be real and to be true. And how can I believe that and ignore the future of what He's telling us? I can do that. Before the flood, God sent a man called Noah to warn the people in those days. And as we know, according to the scripture, they ignore him. They ignore him, but then the consequences were that they all perished. But to us, God sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, to let us know about this coming judgment. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. He grew up and he discipled a group of men and women. He taught them what to do to prepare for this judgment that is coming over the earth. And he told them what they needed to do to be part of the kingdom of God. And as we read in the Gospels, he would tell us, you got to do this or that to be part of the kingdom. Because if you don't, well, you're not gonna be able to enter my kingdom, the kingdom of God. He also told them to go throughout the world and to make disciples. God didn't just when the flood was going about to happen, or when he told Noah about the flood, he didn't rush to come and bring the destruction on earth. In the same way for us nowadays, people sometimes say, oh, well, and even in the scripture it says, oh, well, yeah, but you guys been saying that he's coming and he hasn't come. When is he going to come if it's true? Well, God is merciful and he's patient, not wanting anybody to perish, but he wants everybody to be safe. That's just the love of God that sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend. he told them to go make disciples, and actually that's part of our job too, to go tell people. The Bible says, go give by grace what by grace you have been given. So the gospel, I thank God that somebody shared the gospel with me, because like I said, my life, I know for a fact my life couldn't be better without God. I know that. Why am I so sure of that? Well, that's because I know, I see the difference between the people of God and the people out there. I deal with people out there. I'm not enclosed to, you know, just to us and us only. We all have to deal with people outside the church, and we can tell the difference. And so, we gotta tell them. We gotta tell them that there is a better place. Just as Noah's ark became the only vessel of escape from the flood in those days, the world today also has only one ark of salvation that will save them from the judgment of God's wrath. The ark is the church, or the group of believers that follow Jesus and His word. So we are the ark. And just like Noah, I'm sure he was telling people, hey, come on over. God said he was going to destroy this earth. I think that's our responsibility to do the same, to let people know. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to enter the ark, the church, through the only door that can save us. And we know who the door is. The door is Jesus Christ. Noah's ark had only one door, and when the flood came, the door was shut, and nobody could open it again. And as we read the scripture, it says, the Bible says that one day, this opportunity that God is giving us right now, it's not going to last forever. One day, God is going to shut the door, and people are going to want it, but are not going to be able to find it. Because one day the door is going to be shut, and it's not going to be open again. Not until God takes us to the promised land that He has said that He has prepared for us. So God has warned us through his word that something is going to happen soon, and he's giving every human being the opportunity to repent. Our job as believers is to let the world know about his coming. Jesus promised that he will return and rapture his church out of the earth. And this is the next big event in God's calendar. That's what's going to happen. I believe it. Sometimes it's hard to believe that. It is hard. But we do it by faith. You know, sometimes I picture that, the rapture. Sometimes I picture that people going up, you know, like they, sometimes they show it on a movie or whatever. You see people, you know, going up into heaven. It's hard to grasp that. But like I said, we believe, everything we believe in the Word of God is by faith. And what is impossible for God, for people, it's possible for God. He can do anything. I don't know how God is going to transform our bodies when the rapture happens. I don't know how he's going to do it. All I know is that I believe it. I believe he's going to happen and he's going to do it one way or the other, whether I believe it or not. He's going to do it. So, Noah was called to build an ark, and Jesus came to build a church in our days. He started it with the disciples, and the disciples went throughout the world and started preaching the word of God, the way of the plan of salvation. They started spreading it around. And I thank God, because when I first came to know God, I wasn't looking for God. Somebody came looking for me. And I know that the person that came looking for me was sent by God. Because the same way that person came to me, somebody else came to that person and told them about the gospel. And thank God for that. That's just awesome. God waited patiently for a while to execute his judgment, because he didn't want anyone to perish. He wanted them to repent from their sins. Noah started the building process per God's instructions. God gave him instructions on how he was supposed to build it, and that's exactly how he had to build it. And that's the same thing for the church today. God has told us how to build this ark, the church. He has given us specific instructions on what we need to do to be saved. We cannot skip. We just have to do it the way he has told us. Noah started the building process, or it is important since that was going to be the means to escape the flood. It took him a long time to build it, but he kept himself faithful to God. And I think that's important. That is important. You know why? Because our lives, there are so many things that come into our lives, and sometimes we do get discouraged. And a lot of the times it's sad to see people going in and out of the church. It is a scary thing. And sometimes I think that's my greatest prayer to God. God, give me the courage to keep myself faithful until the end. Because it's not easy with all this pressure we have in this world. It's not easy. Sometimes discouragement comes into our lives and we feel like, like quitting, like saying, I don't think I can't anymore. But you know what? The Bible says that it's not for the one that runs the fastest, but for the one that makes it all the way. And that's my prayer to God. God, help me. Give me the strength to be faithful until the end. Noah waited a long time, and I thank God for that. You know, the Bible is full the Bible says that they're like shadows of things that were going to come. Well, Noah, he showed us by his patience, he waited a long time. He waited a long time, and I, like I said, I pray to God that I keep myself faithful to the end. God could have saved Noah and his family by some means other than the ark. But he used this method to provide a way for Noah to express his faith. So maybe that is the reason why we have to wait. Brother Pastor Frank Tamil used to say, if God wanted you to do nothing after you were saved, he would have taken you to heaven right away. But he didn't. He left us here for a reason. And we have a reason and we have a purpose why God hasn't, he's given us time. He's given us time to do something, not to sit there with our hands crossed, arms crossed. We have to do what he wants us to do. And that is that no one shall perish, but everyone comes to repentance. That's our job, to tell people about it. As it says here, that we have to, so our faith can be shown to God, you know, that we have faith. We must be faithful as well if we really want to be saved. The Bible says the faith without works, it's dead. The book of James, we read in chapter 2 that it says about faith. The faith without works, it's dead. Works and faith go together. If I say I have faith, well, I gotta prove it. Prove it. I gotta do something about it. I can just say, well, I have faith, but well, I gotta show it. You are not gonna believe me that I have faith unless I show you. And that's just the way it goes. We must have faith, but it doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything. We have a job to do. The ark is a type of the church today. Like Noah, a preacher of righteousness, God has called us to preach the gospel to the lost and to gather as many as will come, so they may be saved from the wrath to come. We have to obey God. A lot of the times we doubt ourselves, telling people about it, about the gospel. We are afraid, we're scared, and we think, oh no, that person is not gonna listen. That person's not gonna believe. But you know what I have found out? That a lot of the times when we do that, the person that we thought wouldn't want anything to do with God are the ones that God has chosen to be part of his kingdom. And so it doesn't matter what we think. We just have to be obedient and do what he says and let God do the rest. Let him do the rest. I'm not the one who's going to save them. It's God. And so my job is to bring them and to gather them. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is what draws people to him through our lives and our words. The church provides a safe place for everyone that comes. We bring them and God will do the cleaning. Yeah. Pastor Kylie said that. You do the fishing and God will do the cleaning. And that's all we have to do. We don't have to, we just bring them. The book of John, or the Gospel of John 6:44, I'm just going to really read it quickly. No man can come to me except the Father which had sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So there it is. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God will do. We shouldn't ignore or forget the warning from God because he's coming back, ready or not. I believe that. So, and we must tell others about his coming because God loves everyone and he doesn't want anyone to perish. That's the reason why it's taking him a while for him to come. Everybody must know about it. The Bible says that no one is going to have an excuse. The Bible does say that everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to know about this warning that he's coming. And so in the last day, the Bible says that nobody's going to be able to say, oh, I didn't know. Nobody told me about it. Well, yeah, somebody's going to tell somebody. If we don't tell them, somebody else is going to tell them. When things are going well, it is difficult to imagine that everything could change in a moment of a time. And that's what I was saying. We get used to all these changes. We tend to settle quickly into worldly comforts and good times when our sins seemingly go unpunished. We are tempted to think that we can escape the promised punishment. So we got to be careful with all these changes that are happening here in our days. The wicked society of Noah's day failed into this condition and mindset. Their good times prevented them from believing in the impending doom. So I never want to take for granted the fact that God has brought me to a place of safety. We have to always remind ourselves that we are here, and let's just imagine the ark. We are in an ark, and there is a flood. Well, it's not a flood coming; it's fire coming. So, let's just be in the place of safety. I know that He has kept me here on earth just a little longer because He wants me to share the good news with a lost and dying world that has no hope. And that is a fact. A lot of people live out there without a hope. They don't know where to turn to. They just don't know where to go. I'm gonna finish by reading the last scripture, and most of us know it. It's just John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for your time. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Abundant Life Church podcast. We pray it has strengthened your relationship with God and will continue to be a light unto your pathway to heaven. If you have any questions or comments regarding this podcast, please telephone our ministerial team at 262-965-5177 or email us at info@abundantlifechurch.org.